Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again.
Over and over. Amanda Nunes.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, live worldwide, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I am your host. I'm also an award-winning writer. Won some awards for my penmanship regarding boxing and the arts. And I've also won 4 Golden Gloves. So allegedly, supposedly, I know something about boxing. But guess what? You probably know more. So if you'd like to join us on the toll-free phone line, you can. The number, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or get this. You don't want to come on the air? Shoot me something through the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. The number, 415-275-1613. And once again, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. Text us here in the studio, 415-275-1613. So I'll go through the weekend results. Lots of fights, of course. Chocolito losing to Juan Estrada last night. Split decision down there. Of course, we'll talk about that in depth. 115 pounds. And these guys are jockeys, but they can fight. These guys are tall, lanky guys. Both guys coming in like 5'3", 5'2". So 5'3", 115 pounds. They rocked a little bit last night. We'll talk about that in depth. We'll hear from David Benavidez, a former WBC super middleweight champion. And we'll hear from a lady I think that you'll find very, very interesting. Her name is Claire Burke. She knows boxing in, out, up, down, you name it. She's like an insider. So we'll talk with her in depth in this hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC TV. Once again, the Gilfrey text line. Text us here in the studio. 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. You're tuned to Ring Talk, aka WBC TV, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel.
I think that the Affordable Care Act, you know, as long as it wasn't a name, the Obamacare, it would pass. They made the test already. But the fact of the matter is, at the essence of it all, is people need health care.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Part of the president's COVID relief plan is to offer Medicare for everybody. So check it out. If you're not making $1,000 a day, you could probably get health care anywhere here in the United States with the new COVID bill the way it went down. I kid you not. Check it out. The Affordable Care Plan is affordable. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, on top last night in the minds of many, Daniel, of course, El Bandera Roja. Talk about Daniel Benavidez, now 24 and zip, 21 KOs. Of course, took a hard-fought 11th round TKO over reckless, they call him reckless Ronnie Ellis. Well, reckless Ronnie, of course, ran into a lot of right hands and left hands. Bottom line is he got stopped in the 11th round, now 18 and 2, a couple of draws, 12 KOs. WBC super middleweight title eliminator, of course, the WBC champion, formerly lost the title on the scale, had some coke problems, says he's back. We'll hear from him in about 40, 43 minutes past the hour. I'm talking about David Benavidez. The time when the referee stopped the fight was 2:03 of round number 11. Now, in Dallas, Texas, the co-feature, of course, actually the main event, Juan Estrada and Roman Gonzalez. They call him Chocolito. Of course, he's from Nicaragua. He's like the heir apparent to greatness down there. People call him the next Alexis Arguello. There never will be another explosive thin man like Alexis Arguello. Okay, that's sort of like having another Ali. Ain't going to happen. Anyway, give Roman some props. He came to fight last night, but I think he's getting old. I mean, old. And when you get older, the lighter weight, your reflexes start to slow. Even though these guys did battle for 12, you know, pretty good competitive rounds. But at the end of 12 rounds, the scores look like this. 117-111 and 115-113 for Estrada. who now is 42-3 with 28 KOs. And then one judge had a 115-113 for Chocolito. So that was a split decision. When two judges go one way and one judge goes the other way, that is a split decision. So a lot of people wondered what's going to happen with the guys at 115. I mean, well, they eventually collide with Naonoi Inoue. Of course, he's a champion, 115 pounds as well. And, of course, he's got to hang on, although Mauricio called him by one of his other names, Wasikul Wangek, who's won last night with a blowout over some hobo over there in Thailand or over there in Asia. He's now 50-5, I think, with one draw. He's been stopped a couple of times. But you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBCT. The co-feature you heard from her a little earlier, I'm talking about Jessica McCaskill, just lit up. She just lit up Cecilia Brakus like the White House Christmas tree. I mean, it was like a firecracker. She took out a match, she lit the wick, and ba-boom! Cecilia just exploded from the first round, and she imploded in the first round and never got on track. She just never got on track. She lost every round. A couple rounds, she might have lost by 2 points, even though there were no drop positions. Of course, she got the point taken away from her. I'm talking about Cecilia Brakus. Listen, when you get old in boxing, it's like it happens in front of you. It doesn't happen in the gym. It happens in a fight. And you say to yourself, you know, that used to be real easy. And all of a sudden, I can't do it. In other words, shutting the door, and you go to shut the door, and the door, you're not shutting the door. You're saying to yourself, what's wrong? So you try to shut the door 3 or 4 times, and then you realize something's wrong with the door. Well, it's not something wrong with the door. You're just getting old. Anyway, David Benavidez, not an old guy. What's he now, 22, 23 years old? He will be, they want to make him the heir apparent to Canelo, but as far as 168 pounds is concerned, of course, he speaks both Spanish and English, Mexican-American. But, following Canelo's shoes, Canelo is the greatest thing to come along in a long, long time. You know, I hate to say it, but the African-American guys are really all over him on Facebook. I mean, I keep seeing these posts every day, Canelo's a bum, Canelo did this, Canelo's fighting stiffs, Canelo. Listen, Canelo's the best fighter in the world, pound for pound. If you haven't watched him improve since the days when he fought guys like James Kirkland, of course, down there in Texas, and it wasn't Texas yet, in Texas, and fights like that, I mean, early on, since he fought Floyd Mayweather. I mean, look at the physical metamorphosis just in the physicality of Canelo Alvarez. I mean, Saul Alvarez. I mean, look at him. I mean, he's grown into a man. He's hard. He's rock hard. Unlike a lot of Mexican champions, Latino champions, or black fighters in the past, of course, even some white guys, you get undisciplined, you get fat, get a tire around your waist. Not this guy. He's been the most disciplined athlete I think I've ever seen in the past maybe 10 or 15 years. Haven't been watching him that long, but when he showed up for a convention in San Juan, Puerto Rico about 4 or 5 years ago, he was in between fights. He was only fighting twice a year. And guess what? He wasn't heavy then. So what I'm trying to tell you is Canelo takes care of business. Of course, he's going to go in May, Cinco de Mayo weekend, of course, against Billy Joe Saunders, the undefeated gypsy, coming to us from the UK. Of course, he can fight. He's undefeated WBO champion. We'll see what happens with that. But Canelo is probably about a 3-1 favorite in that. Canelo is going to be a favorite over a lot of people. I mean, there's not too many people I think that are going to be. Who's going to be favorite over him? And is Andre Ward coming back to fight Canelo Alvarez? Is that the rumor I hear? Somebody told me they saw Andre Ward and he lost 25 pounds. At one point, he was looking like a poor man's Andre Ward. You know, not a lot of chin, but a lot of face. He had a lot of face. He was looking at the camera on ESPN. He was doing the TV. You saw a lot of face for Andre Ward. I mean, he was this trim guy with a lot of face, a lot of mug, a lot of fat in the face. Anyway, a lot of ice cream. And looks like he's turning back the clock, trying to get in shape. And I wonder if he's getting in shape for Canelo Alvarez. Of course, that would be a multi-million-dollar payday. Of course, Canelo Alvarez capturing the WBO 175-pound crown about a year and a half ago when he stopped Sergey Kovalev. Kovalev came into that fight a big dude. I said to myself, man, this guy's got a size advantage. You know, size matters in two things, fans. You know, size matters in two things, right? Combat sports and pornography. And this is combat sports. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC-TV. Open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Get this, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. The number, 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. Next up on WBC-TV, Claire Burke, boxing advisor. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez.
Clap Clap your hands, sir. Stop being racist. Clap your hands.
You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, only on Sports Byline. Check it! Ron Elias is saying, who's that lady? The lady's name is Claire Burke. She, of course, is a boxing advisor. She's got an interesting story. And she captivated me on the phone the other day to the point where I said, stop! And what? She said, what do you mean stop? I said, I want you to tell the story on the radio. Bottom line is, she is spending some time with us. Claire Burke, how are you today? And where do you come? Where are you coming to us from?
Detroit.
Motown.
Yeah, so it's cold here.
You ever been to Motown Studios?
Of course.
Well, you know, Emmanuel never went to a man. Emmanuel Stewart never went there. I mean, I tried to get him down there. He used to drop me off there. I mean, I go down there and spend time at the Motown Studios, and I would go next door to the funeral parlors, a funeral parlor right to the left of it or to the right of it, depending on how you're looking at it. And I would give those guys some California weed, and we talk Motown. We had a great time, and those were some great experiences. I wanted to do a book on Berry Gordy, the boxer and the music mogul, but nobody wanted to talk about him in the music business, so that sort of book died on the vine. So anyway, Motown, Detroit, you're a boxing agent, manager. What do you call yourself?
Well, I mean, currently right now I am the vice president of the American Boxing Federation, which is was a retired federation from the 70s and 80s, which I rebranded to the American Boxing Federation in 2018.
Okay.
But I think I just kind of call myself, I mean, overall, I mean, if a fighter's out there doing the work and living the lifestyle and, you know, putting in the effort, I'm kind of like a free advisor. How about that?
Okay. So tell me about the guy that you loaned some money to, or how'd you get that first contact in boxing? Talk to me about that.
Well, it's kind of an odd story, but, you know, I started, I used to be in the medical industry, so it's kind of even strange that I'm even in boxing to begin with. It doesn't really make a lot of sense, but I used to sell cadavers to research hospitals and surgeons for, you know,
Time out. I got to ask you this. How much did you get a pound?
It went by body parts.
Okay, I'm sorry, but continue. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good. That's funny. So, let's see. Then it led me to helping someone out and becoming a partner in a check cashing store, in, you know, a pretty rough neighborhood in Detroit. And I'll say after I was there about 6 months, running the place, a young man walked in, kid walked in, whatever you want to call him. And, you know, he had this little plastic, like I was telling you, this little plastic tethered, broken basket that you get like at a dollar store or something. And he walked in and he had all this stuff in it and he said, hi, you know, and gives me his name. And he says, I'm selling tickets so I can buy shoes and shorts for my upcoming fight. I'm a professional fighter. Now, not knowing anything about boxing, you hear this and you think, this is insane. This can't be right. He's a professional athlete selling tickets to his show so he can buy shoes, right? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I looked at what he had and bought like 10 tickets. Went to the fight. He gave me a shout out. He knocked the guy out in like 45 seconds. And I'm thinking, wow, this kid must really be great, right? Because I know nothing. And not that the kid isn't great, but I wouldn't have known if he wasn't at that point. So one thing led to another. He would come in and he was, you know, come in throughout the week and, you know, would always hint around that he was hungry or, you know, needed a couple bucks for bus fare to get down to the gym. So I ended up hiring him to walk me out every night. I figured that was better for everyone. If he just made 25 bucks a night, only had to work for 5 minutes, just walking me out, right? Mm-hmm. It worked for me. It worked for him. Let him keep his, you know, dignity without having to beg for food and stuff.
So cool.
Let's see. Yeah, I guess. And I mean, it worked out really well. I mean, he's a nice guy. He still is a nice guy. He was diligent. He was there all the time. He was thankful for it. And it made me feel safer walking out. It really was a win-win. So one night, in February, we had this huge snowstorm. Okay. And you're from California, right?
Yeah. We don't know too much about that.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, you get it. But so there's this big, huge snow. You've been to Detroit enough to know when we get snow, it's snow. So this big snowstorm and he was going to walk home. I said, get in my car. I'm going to drive you home. No, that's okay. I go, you're going to get hit by a car. I mean, you couldn't even see 5 feet ahead of you in a car. How are you going to walk home? So I dropped him off, and you know how you don't even realize you're doing it, but you wait for someone to turn the lights on, and no lights went on. So I called him up. I said, hey, are you okay? And he said, yeah. I said, oh, I didn't see lights go on. Just make sure you're in the house, okay? He goes, lights? He goes, this is a squat house.
Now, explain that to the listeners.
Okay, so he was homeless, and it's just a vacant house that someone had abandoned in Detroit, or no one was currently living in, and he just moved in.
Interesting.
So, you know, it was a moment for me that even as I'm telling you this story, and I've told this story a dozen times, it brings me to tears. It hit me so hard. You know, you hear about this. We all know it's a reality. We all know that there's homeless people out there. We know there's people struggling. I mean, but when it hit me like that, like I just felt like, how did I not see this? How did I? It really impacted me deeply.
Okay.
So much so that I drove away and I had to pull over. So I drove like a couple miles, across, just across 8 Mile, and I had to pull over, and I'm sobbing. And I said, okay, I had to come to Jesus, talk with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you know my heart. You know the person I am. Why did you put this person in my life? What am I supposed to do with this information? Hmm. You know, and I'm not rich by any means. You know, I don't have a huge house or anything. I thought about it for a few days and I said, you know what? I have a finished basement with its own little kitchenette and its own bathroom. I thought maybe I can just let him move in for a few months, maybe just through the winter, help him like, you know, maybe get a job. I didn't really know the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time I saw him, I said, hey, you know, I was thinking, you know, you're living in a squat house. I mean, that's not really safe. You don't have heat. You don't have electric. How about, you know, I have a couch in my basement. I kind of explained to him the situation. I said, I'm not trying to be, you know, stranger and things. I didn't know how he would take it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so why don't you move in with me and we'll try and figure some stuff out, you know, for a few months. He didn't even hesitate. He was like, sure. I'm like, okay. And I'm chuckling because that's not what I expected. I just expected him to like, let me think about it. But
are you kidding? Getting out of the snow? Getting out of the snow in Detroit?
Right, but I'm just thinking that he might, you know, who knows? I mean, I just wasn't expecting him to answer right away, but I'm sure he wasn't expecting me to ask. So the next day, he showed up when he was supposed to walk me out with a backpack and a bag full of boxing gear. And he said, I go, oh, what's all that? And I go, you went to the gym? And he says, no, you said I could move in. I mean, he was ready. It just, okay. And I didn't feel prepared, but that's how it happened. And he was a fighter. And somewhere, you know, before all that happened, after his fight, he had gotten a check from his, fight from his then promoter.
You mean payment? And it was payment for fighting.
Right. And it was $311.
Wow.
I mean, $311. And I thought, this is crazy. I mean, he sold all the, I bought more than $300 worth of tickets. So I'm thinking, where'd this money go? I mean, it just didn't make any sense to me. Then the check bounced.
Whoa.
On top of that. Yeah, he didn't even get payment. So obviously I didn't, you know, ask him for the money back that I'd given him when I cashed the check, but I did contract his promoter and get him, you know, his money. And then he kept saying, you should help me. You should help me with boxing. He talked to me about it every day. I said, look, I'm trying to help you, but I know nothing about boxing. I know nothing about the business. And if I'm truly trying to help you, that doesn't seem like a big help to me. That seems like creating more of a problem. So I only knew one person in boxing. I feel like I'm just rambling.
Keep going. I'm going
okay.
for it.
I only knew one.
One person in boxing. We lost her.
I know I had a call come in and I thought it was blocked and it wasn't. I am so sorry. I thought I turned off my incoming calls. So I only knew one person, that was Jimmy Mallow. And Jimmy Mallow was the trainer and manager for Mary Jo Sanders, the uh-huh. two-time world champion. Charlie Sanders, her dad was Charlie Sanders, the Detroit Lions Hall of Famer. That's the only person I knew. So I took him out there, and he said, yeah, kid's got some talent. And I said, okay, what do I who do I take him to? What do I do? He said, well, you should manage him again. I said, I know nothing. He goes, Claire, you're good with business. You're smart. You're going to look out for the kid. That's the number one thing. I said, well, it seems like there should be a lot more after number one, like maybe up to a number 10,000. And, so I took him around to gyms and I just used my instinct and we went to a gym and someone BS'd us or something like that or told us some crap. We bounced. We left. I said, well, go to a different gym. We're not coming here anymore. Until we found this great team, and the right people in a suburb, actually not in Detroit. And I was able to get investors and things like that. Before you knew it, I was managing this kid. And once you get in boxing, you never leave.
Yeah, well, here's what's up. You love the first 5 years you're in boxing, and then the next 25 you're trying to get out and you can't. That's what people say. Anyway,
I'm past 5 years and I love it.
Okay, all right. Claire Burke is our guest, boxing extraordinary advisor, coming to us from the city of Motown, Detroit, Michigan. Now, you had a check cashing place. I used to scalp tickets. I'll admit it. I used to scalp tickets all the way up until the 90s, and probably after that. But Oscar De La Hoya fights were hot in Vegas, okay? So I would buy like 45 or 50 tickets, go down there and scalp them on the strip. All right? So I never got taken ever with counterfeit money, but some dude got me this one time. He got me this one
time.
With two fake $100 bills, okay? It was a $1,200 ticket, so I think I still made about $400 or $500 on it, but I was gouging him to the max, and he was, you know, that's what you do when you scalp. Anyway, it's a capitalist type of thing. Anyway, so he got me for two fake $100 bills, and the bank threw them back at me when I got back here to San Francisco. We ain't taking this kind of stuff. Anyway, he got over on me. People get over on you regularly, or were you able to combat that?
No, I was actually pretty good at it. Now, in between all this stuff and like while I was working my way through college, I worked my way through college as a PI. So I'm pretty sharp with stuff like that.
Okay.
So yeah, I was okay. I mean, there was a couple times I got taken on a couple fake checks, but nothing big. And you know, I had still had my program that I could use because I was still a licensed PI that I could go into and check people out before I cash checks for people I didn't know. So,
we have
machines there too that read it if it's counterfeit. So, there's technology now.
I'm a licensed PI, but that didn't stop a couple promoters from an ex-cop. Didn't stop a couple.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. Check this out. I went to Hawaii to pick up the North American Boxing Writer of the Year Award in 1990, and I flew over there, and my house payment bounced, and all this stuff was bouncing over here, and I couldn't believe it. So the bank calls me. I check the answering machine, and the bank's going, hey, man, everything's bouncing here. Are you? Well, it turns out Bill Wheeler bounced a $5,000 check on me. You know, I ended up getting it back, but the bottom line is, you know, that's boxing, and I can go on and on about the bounce checks anyway. So what are you doing nowadays? What are you doing right now?
Well, I'm still running the ABF, and basically I use the ABF too, and I don't want to say use the ABF, but it's my way to meet teams and meet people face to face and give some of these kids an opportunity that are never going to be, you know, a multi-million dollar fight world champion. The best moment of their life. And I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but
when they
win that regional belt, it literally is for some of them, most of them, the best moment of that they've lived so far in their life. And it's priceless. It truly is. So I'm doing that and, you know, working on some other deals. I mean, ultimately I'd like to be able to, you know, be in charge of a larger promotion that I can work with up and coming fighters. And what I mean is, you know, the top 2% of fighters, you know, they've got a business plan for them, right? They're making some money, but there's 98% of the market that isn't making a lot of money, isn't ever going to make a ton of money, and they need someone to kind of help them have a plan B. So I'm getting involved with fighters. So we don't have a lot of fighters, you know, there's a lot of former fighters, I'm sure you know this, that, you know, are really struggling out there. They never had a plan B. You know, part of being a fighter,
Claire, I'm going to run up on a hard break right now. The commercial says we got to go break.
Yeah.
Why don't you stick around to after the break? We'll talk a couple more minutes, okay?
Okay.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV, coming to you live, of course, on Sports Byline USA, the twitch.tv channel. This is it. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated but never duplicated, back with Claire Burke after the break. Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Now, more Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I saw the Isleys last year before the pandemic, and they still rock and roll. I mean, he's like 75, 78 years old, somewhere around 80 years old. They've been performing for as long as I've been alive, so the Isley brothers still rocking and rolling. So who is that lady? I think we sort of know who that lady is now. I'm talking about Clara Burke, boxing advisor, and of course. Do you have a website, or is there some way people can get a hold of you if they like they need a manager?
Actually, they can just call my cell.
Okay, I don't know if I don't know if I want to.
I'm on Facebook. They can reach out to me on Facebook Messenger. They can reach out to me on there.
Okay.
And then the ABF website.
Okay.
And my cell phone number's on both of those.
Okay. Women's boxing. It seems like it's coming back. I mean, you're old enough to remember Christy Martin and Lucia Riker and that kind
of
stuff, and they had a good little run. They had a good little run back in then, but and now it looks like girls like Jessica McCaskill, an office girl, almost a techie. She's a techie type of girl, and she goes.
Yeah, she works in investment banker, right?
Exactly, and she goes in and she beats the icon the first time. Everybody's like, oh, it's a fluke. No. You don't beat people on flukes. Anyway, she comes back in the second fight. She totally dominates her last night, and of course we've got Amanda Nunes coming up next week, and then we've had Clarissa Shields last week. So we've got 3 weeks in a row women's boxing. Mauricio Suleiman, he and I sort of think that it's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's coming back. I think that it still has a long way to go. I'd like to see some people get involved where they really know how to promote and do some better marketing. But shoot, I could say that about the male division as well.
Well, you know, boxing is not a job. It's a bunch of independent contractors.
Exactly.
Is that the best way to describe it?
Right. So just, you know, putting together some teams. I mean, I think it's coming back. I mean, there's a few all female cards, you know, cards coming up soon and things like that. You know, there's still a lot of talk about the 2 minute rounds or the 3 minute rounds, things like that. So I'm kind of on the fence with that.
Well, you know, having boxed 2 minute, 3 minute rounds, I'm saying they should box 2 minute rounds because we'll get more action out of the 2 minutes. And I think they should lighten up on the gloves. They're redesigning the gloves, but I think they should lighten up on them. I think women should fight with sixes and fours. And the reason why I say that is they don't get the leverage on the blows that a man of the equal size gets. So I don't think the WNBA, the ball is smaller, I think, and the hoop is a little shorter. So in the tennis, in the world of tennis and golf, the playing surfaces are adjusted. I just think in boxing, the tools should be adjusted.
Right. I totally agree with you. I think they need to stay with the 2 minute rounds as well and make adjustments on the tools. I 100% agree.
Okay.
I do. I am not for the 3 minute rounds for the female division.
Now, Claire Burke, you and I know we can go do an entire show on those bad guys who promote boxing in Detroit, huh?
Is that what you want to do? You want to talk about the bad promoters in Detroit?
No, but we can do a whole show on that, couldn't we?
We could do a whole week on that.
Oh,
it's so ridiculous. Oh. A whole week. It's so bad. And I wish it was different, but I think the commission is partly to blame.
Commission. Does the athletic commission really let the promoter hire the judges? The commission doesn't hire anybody?
Nope. Absolutely not. The promoter is responsible for calling them up, scheduling them, paying them, the judges, the refs, everything. They do it all. And I tell people all the time, they're like, Claire, you're from Detroit. You know, I got a call from, someone that does a promotion at Motor City Casino and they want me to fight on their card. And I tell everyone not to do it. And they think, you know, they think I'm a hater in Detroit. It's not that. It's just, it's very corrupt. And it honestly is, if I managed any fighters right now, which I am getting back into management, that's a whole other thing. But, I would not put anyone on if you're not from Detroit, I would not put any fighter on a fight in Detroit.
That's
so there you go. I said it. Everyone can say Claire Burke said it, and I'm a hater, but the truth.
Young lady, you have a great week, and we're going to have you back real soon because I think we'll talk about those Detroit promoters. Great best. Thank you for your time.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks for having me on.
The lady, no doubt about that, Claire Burke, man. She was like holding back there. We'll get her to let loose. I mean, when she really lets loose, basically, the lady's got a lot to say, but that was her first time. We'll have her back in the future, no doubt about that. Speaking of future, next week on the Sunday edition, we'll bring in the UK ace, Sir Kenneth Rainford. He just confirmed he will be on next week's show. Now, David Benavidez, of course, he
former WBC super middleweight champion, the winner last night, of course, over Ronald Ellis. Ellis falling to 18-2 with a draw and 12 KOs. David upping it to 24-0 with 21 KOs. Very good win. Here's what he said post-fight.
Joining me now is the unbeaten David Benavidez. Congratulations, 21st knockout. You're a bad man. How would you rate your performance tonight?
I mean, I rate it pretty good, but I know I could have did better, man. Ronald Ellis was a tough, tough competitor, man, and I just hope the fans like what they've seen. You know, I do a lot of combinations, pushes and bunches. That's what they like to see, so I hope they had a good show tonight.
Was he tougher than you thought he was going to be?
Yeah, he was definitely tougher than I thought he was going to be, but, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. Sometimes the one you think you're going to stop early, you stop until late, you know what I mean? So my hats off to Ronald Ellis. Him and his team, they're all gentlemen, so, you know, hats off to them again.
What do you think your performance tonight said to the 168-pound division?
Well, you know, I want all the big guys, you know, and I feel like, speaking for the fans, too, they would love to see me with all the big guys because, as you can see, you know, I love throwing punches. I love stopping people, so me against all the big names would be an amazing fight. You know, Charlo, Caleb, Plant, Canelo, all of them. I'm willing to fight all of them.
And you've made it no secret that you said next you would like Jermall Charlo. What would be the incentive for Jermall Charlo to come up to 168 to fight you?
Well, I mean, he was talking about me, say he can knock me out, so if it's that easy, come do it, man. You know what I mean? I feel like it makes sense for the company, for me and him. We both need that next step up, you know, to get into bigger and better things, so I feel like it makes sense on both parts.
What is next for David Benavidez? Realistically, when do you see yourself fighting again, and against whom?
You know, whoever, I'm willing to fight, you know, in August or September, whoever they want me to fight against, you know, I'm willing to fight whoever. I mean, it doesn't matter. Right now, I've been professional 8 years. I want some excitement. I want the big names, whoever. Come on, come on.
You know, one guy that you guys have had, it seems like 4 years now, is Caleb Plant.
Yeah.
When do we think we'll see a David Benavidez Caleb Plant fight?
Whenever he grows some balls, I'm ready right now, but let's see if he's not. I don't think he's ready right now, so whoever he wants to fight me, I'm right here standing.
And, of course, everybody in this division wants Canelo Alvarez. You said, hey, look, I need to earn that fight. If you guys fought right now, do you think David Benavidez could take Canelo Alvarez?
I definitely feel like I'd beat Canelo Alvarez, and I feel like it would
right
be,
now.
Right now, I'd beat Canelo Alvarez, and I feel like it would be a great fight for the fans too. At the end of the day, people want to see great fights and fireworks, and that's what I give.
Yeah, and how long we see David Benavidez at 168?
I mean, I was on weight the whole week. You know, what I mean, this was the first time I've been on weight the whole week. You know, so I just relaxed. So with the diet, you know, the diet that I had, and going back to Big Bear, I could stay at 168 for three more years.
Yeah, and do you see yourself continuing this training in Big Bear, or do you go back now with COVID winding down? Do you go back training at your home gym or what?
No, I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, all my fans deserve, I deserve to give my fans 110% of myself every time I step into the training camp, and Big Bear is that sweet spot for me, so I'm going to keep going back there until my career finishes.
All right. David Benavidez, that was really impressive tonight. Congratulations on the victory.
Thank you, brother. And thank you. I want to thank all the fans for all the love and support. Thank you so much.
Big Bear, California. Let me tell you, there's nothing happening in Big Bear. It's the biggest bore I've ever been to in my life. One night, Emmanuel Stewart and I, of course, the founder of the Kronk Gym in Detroit, the man who brought us Tommy Hearns, etc. Anyway, we got drunk one night, and we were doing karaoke, and we sung My Way together. And then they showed it to me the next morning on VHS tape. So I reached into the tape recorder and broke the tape in half because I didn't want that tape surfacing on the Internet, because the Internet was coming into play at this point in time. It was in the 90s, right? So anyway, I thought about that now that Emmanuel passed away, of course, a few years ago. I wish that the tape still existed because we were both looking extremely foolish, no doubt about that, down there in Big Bear, California. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC-TV. Of course, if you're catching us live on the radio or TV, we come to you Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and like 1,000 other Internet platforms. Of course, we also come to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, with a video feed which comes to you 2 hours every Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. And I was cracking up because, you know, in Mexico, they don't have daylight savings time. So when I was calling Mauricio, he said, hey, you're going to call me in an hour. No, it was an hour earlier because there's no daylight savings time. In fact, we all lost an hour of sleep last night here in the continental USA. I think everybody but Arizona goes with the daylight savings time. Wow. March 13th, 1993, I want to mention this without a doubt, maybe the greatest fight in the history of a horse race jockeys. Talk about Michael Carball, of course, and Chiquita Gonzalez hooking it up at the Las Vegas Hilton. It was a great fight, no doubt about that. Carball down in rounds 2-5, I believe, and then he stopped him, I think, at 2:59 in the seventh round. 1 second to go in the seventh round, and Michael Carball uncorks his left hook and just drops Chiquita Gonzalez. Of course, Chiquita was a great fighter. He was pound for pound the best in the world at one point in time. Icon Jack Fisk, who was the Hall of Fame boxing writer, I said, Jack, let's go to the forum and let's watch Humberto Chiquita fight. He's like 48-0 with like 47 knockouts. I mean, he's like a massive fighter, best fighter in the world, WBC 108-pound champion. I can go on and on and on. So finally I get Jack Fisk to get the Chronicle to pay his route. So I pay my own route. We go to L.A. And what happens? He fights Rolando Pascua. He's a 50-1 underdog. Some people got it 100-1. And what happens? Chiquita gets beat. Humberto quits like a dog. Of course, later on they would have this epic fights with Michael Carball. I think there were three of them in all, but that one, March 13th, 1991, that is the one, 1993, that's the one that rocked without a doubt. And I want to mention this. Floyd Patterson knocked out Ingemar Johansson, March 13th, 1961. The reason why I bring up Floyd is that Floyd had my back one time. Well, actually, he had my back. He knew I was about to slap somebody in Kansas City. And what happened was we were doing a fight card, and some guy left a message on somebody else's voicemail. I'm going to see Pedro. When I see him in Kansas City, I'm going to slap the spit out of him with an H. That's what he said. So, I mean, my friend was, you know, he was like freaked out. He didn't want me to get sucker punched or anything like that. So he ends up playing the tape for me, and I listened to it once, twice. And can you play it a third time? He goes, why? You heard it twice. I said, yeah, but this get me a little bit madder. So he played it the third time, and the third time I knew who it was, it ended up being Buster Douglas's corner man. And of course, I almost had to slap the snot out of him. And Floyd Patterson was sitting there at the table. I said to him, get up, chump. Floyd got out the way. Floyd said, I'm moving out the way. He moved out the way. So then Floyd told me in the elevator the next day, he goes, you know, son, I've never seen anybody look as serious as you. He goes, you were ready to take that young man's head off, weren't you? I said, I was ready to light him up, Floyd. He goes, I could tell. That's why I stepped out of the way. Definitely, you look serious. Floyd Patterson, may he rest in peace. Of course, knocked out Ingemar Johansson, 3-13, March 13, 1961, in the sixth round, I believe, and that was their third fight. Floyd had been down. Floyd was a guy that was like always up and down. Floyd Patterson was probably the most overrated heavyweight champion, or maybe the under, maybe how can I put this? He was either overrated or he was an underachiever because he was a middleweight in the Olympics, 165-pound guy. Okay, you don't go from 165 to heavyweight. You just don't do it unless you're sucking down like Michael Moore to make 175. You can blossom up and become a decent heavyweight, but he wasn't of the heavyweight size, no doubt about that. You know, and Floyd fought Ingo, got knocked out the first time. Of course, they fought again. He won two fights after that, but Floyd Patterson, not really a heavyweight. And then, of course, he ran into a real heavyweight in Charles Sonny Liston. Liston destroyed him in one round, not once, but twice. Of course, Liston, a man that died mysteriously in 1969 or 1970, circa right around New Year's Eve. Of course, that was in Las Vegas, and they found him nude on his bed. Sonny Liston was found nude on his bed. The house was locked from the inside. All the windows were locked. The air conditioning wasn't on, so he didn't smell too good. You know, the body had been in there a few days. But his underwear were down around his ankles, and he was nude on top of the bed. Nobody can get in. Nobody can get out. He was nude on the bed with his underwear down around his ankles. Can you imagine what was going on there? Think about it. Sonny Liston, he came and went at the same time. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez.
Let's get him. Let's get him hard.
Listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
31 years ago, March 17, 1990, 68, no, Julio Cesar Chavez took on the undefeated Melvin Clay. Of course, that fight ended in the 12th round. Very controversial. Referee Richard Steele has been criticized for that, but he made the right call because Meltzer was looking over at Lou Duva, who was standing on the apron in his corner. It was distracting the kid. Instead of looking at the referee, he was looking at his corner. Bottom line is, I spent that night with Evander Holyfield. Both he and I went and saw the Delphonics. That was like epic night, no doubt about it, as far as the music is concerned. I want to mention 1981. This week in 1981, I made my Golden Glove debut here in San Francisco at the Cal Palace by stopping Paul Nave in the second round with a body shot. Paul Nave was a world-accomplished professional. Of course, I could never do what he did as a pro. He went 12 rounds with guys like Greg Hogan and beat him. But that night, he was second best. Bottom line is, I stopped him in the second round with a body shot in the Cal Palace. Of course, that began a Golden Glove reign of terror. That's what I want to call it. Not really. I lost in 82, lost to a guy that they promised him if he won, he got to get out of jail. So I guess that was enough incentive for him to beat me. But I was green like guacamole, so he beat me in that fight. And then, of course, I come back in 82, 83, 84, won those titles, came back in 86 and won my fourth title. So four Golden Gloves titles. And what's my claim to fame? Somebody said to me, Pedro, what do you think you know, besides winning those four Golden Glove titles, what do you think your claim to fame in boxing is? Well, I'm going to put it to you like this. I lost to the guy, Vincent Webb, that last beat the Olympic gold medalist of my time. How's that? That's pretty good. That's why when I picked number 9 out of that hat there in Colorado Springs, they had a big hat and they had these numbers, like they dropped these dominoes with numbers on them into this hat, like 1 through 12 or something like that. I said to myself, please don't pick 12, because I could beat everybody hands down except Vincent Webb. Vincent Webb was going to be a problem. I knew that, okay? So I hoped to pull anybody but Vincent Webb. And I pulled Vincent Webb, and that was the end of that. I lost the unanimous nod, and of course that was in the Western Olympic Trials. Then Vincent do his thing. He turned pro with Emmanuel Stewart. Emmanuel wanted to get me to turn pro, but like he told me, you'll never be champion, son. So when he told me like that, sort of like Berry Gordy from Eddie Futch, you'll never be champion. No sense in sticking around the fight game. You have been listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC TV, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. Our executive producer, the one, the only, Scott Cuddy, I thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, you'd be doing a million things right now. You could be doing a million things, but you listen to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. So me, Pedro Fernandez, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Don't forget, WBCBoxing.com is a website for the World Boxing Council. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.